Welcome back to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Common Core is a term that we hear a lot of people objecting to, but what is it really? Well, here's what comedian Stephen Colbert had to say about it.
Barack Obama wants to indoctrinate our students with his socialist agenda. I've even heard disturbing rumors that kindergartners are being forced to share. That's why I've long opposed his Common Core curriculum, which sets uniform education standards across all 50 states. No way, mister. Different states have different values. I don't want my kids ending up in Colorado's drug education course, which classifies weed as a condiment. But folks, as much as I didn't expect it, I may be coming around to the Common Core. Because it turns out Common Core testing prepares our students for what they'll face as adults. Pointless stress and confusion.
And Texas is has not accepted the Common Core and has not implemented it, but we do have our own standards and high-stakes standardized testing. So that doesn't mean Texas is free from the concept of Common Core. In fact, it can be said that Texas started Common Core with the so-called Texas Education Miracle and other reforms. Well, what do you think about the Common Core and education reforms? We want to hear from you. We invite you to join the conversation. Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980. And you could also email your questions and comments to thesource@tpr.org and write directly on our show page on the website at tpr.org. With us to discuss the Common Core and other education reforms is Diane Ravitch. She is the author of the book Reign of Error. She's also a former Assistant Secretary of Education. Diane, welcome back to The Source.
Hi, it's great to be with you. Thank you, David.
So you don't like Common Core. Tell me why.
Well, I was agnostic about it. I had years and years ago, when I was in the first Bush administration, thought that national standards would be a good idea. But as I saw the way these were developed, which was there were no active educators on the panel that wrote them, there was no one actually who was a classroom teacher, and they're just completely inappropriate, particularly in the early grades. They ask kindergarten and first and second third grade kids to do things that probably should be asked of third, fourth, and fifth graders. There was a lack of, and they never tried them out anywhere to see if they were developmentally appropriate, and they're not. And I didn't like the way they were developed in secret and imposed by Arne Duncan through Race to the Top. I mean, basically, you couldn't get Race to the, you weren't even eligible for the billions of dollars in federal funding from Race to the Top unless you agreed to adopt the Common Core. And that a lot of people, like, for instance, the Texas Commissioner of Education, Robert Scott, said they asked me to approve the Common Core sight unseen. They hadn't even finished writing them. Well, that's not the way you develop national standards. The way you develop national standards is you bring in teachers, you bring in experts in the field, you bring in people who understand how children learn, and that's what you do. Now, the other reason that I'm very critical of them is that standards alone don't make children learn. You can have the highest standards in the world, and the higher they get, the more children will fail them. So I just don't think it's an answer to the problems we have in this country.
There are a lot of people who are opposed to Common Core on all over the political spectrum. There are people who are in favor of standardized testing and who are in favor of charter schools and vouchers who are also opposed to Common Core. And so how does it feel to be aligned with that?
Well, I don't care who else comes to the conclusion. I'm opposed to standardized testing. I went to school in Houston, Texas, K through 12. Never took a standardized test until I went to take the SAT. The teachers made the test, and that's the best way to test kids because the teachers know what they taught, and then they can immediately, the next day or the same day, find out what the kids have learned and what they haven't learned. What's happening now with standardized testing, and it's true across the country, particularly in Texas, where you've given almost $500 million to a British corporation called Pearson, they don't tell the teachers what the kids learned and didn't learn. They just give them the score. So as far as I'm concerned, that's a total waste of almost $500 million at the same time when the schools are really need more funding.
Now, is Common Core...
I don't care about being aligned with those people. I'm opposed to charter schools because I think it's a form of privatization. San Antonio is about to put thousands of kids, tens of thousands of kids in charter schools, and they're going to be very disappointed to discover that most of those schools will not want kids who are English language learners, will not want kids who are have disabilities, and will kick out the kids who don't get high test scores. So I just think we're, with charter schools, we're on our way to recreating a dual school system.
So Common Core, is there anything in this idea that is worth salvaging? The idea of having national standards, is it, should we just go back to the drawing board and refigure out and grow this thing organically, keeping in touch with classroom teachers, or is it the whole idea just doesn't make any sense to you?
I think there's a way to have good national standards. I don't think it's going to solve the basic problem of low achievement, which is poverty. And when kids grow up in poverty, and you've got probably more than the national average in the state of Texas, but when they grow up in terrible poverty, when they're homeless, when they don't speak English, they have a lot of trouble in school. You have to address the problems they have, and having national standards doesn't address that problem. I think there's some virtue in national standards, but they should be derived almost, I guess the term would be organically, which is to say, take 5 years to do it right. Involve people who actually teach kids, have a review process, try them out, find out what works and what doesn't work. None of that was done. In fact, these standards called the Common Core have been copyrighted by the National Governors Association and the Council of Chief State School Officers, and no one is supposed to make any changes in them. They have to be taken completely as they are with no changes, even though they have many flaws. In the places where they've been tested, New York's done 2 Common Core tests now. Most of the kids fail because the standards and the tests aligned with them are inappropriate. They're pitched so high. I mean, people in the testing industry know before they give a test how many kids are going to pass and how many are going to fail. They have designed the tests, which are federally funded, by the way. They've designed the test so that 70% of the kids failed it. Well, what are we going to do with those kids? You know, they won't get a high school diploma, and they'll be jobless. I mean, this is like a recipe for disaster.
I'm looking at the website, corestandards.org, and that's the website for the Common Core. And it's as a question, Q&A. Were teachers involved in the creation of the standards? And it says, yes, teachers were had a critical voice in the development of the standards. And as it goes on to sort of outline all that.
Yeah, they say it, but it's not true. There were, I think, 27 people on the writing committee, and none of them were teachers. 2 of them had taught high school in the past, but none of them were teachers. And there was a statement actually issued by 500 people who were experts in early childhood education, that is to say 3, 4, 5, 6, 7-year-old kids, who said there wasn't a single person involved at any point that knew anything about early childhood education, and they protested the standards. This was not the Tea Party. These were early childhood education experts.
So in Texas,
there are a lot of myths about the Common Core.
Sure, yeah, and trying to get to the truth is a tough chore because there's so many different takes on what the Common Core is and what it's trying to do.
Right. Well, the guy who is the architect is David Coleman. David Coleman came from the McKinsey Corporation, which is a business management company. He then developed an assessment program, which he sold to McGraw-Hill for untold millions of dollars, and he never taught. He went to Yale, he went to Oxford, he was a Rhodes Scholar, and he was the architect of the Common Core. Well, guess what? Most of our kids are not preparing for Yale or for Oxford or to be Rhodes Scholars. They're regular kids, and they are not going to live up to David Coleman's standards. David Coleman went immediately from being the architect of the Common Core to becoming the CEO of the College Board. And he's right now redesigning the SAT, which is one of the 2 major college admissions.
Diane,
I got to take
a quick 1-minute break, and we'll be right back. We're talking with Diane Ravitch about Common Core and education reform and charter schools and vouchers here on The Source. This is KSTX. Stay tuned. You're listening to The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. With me on the line, Diane Ravitch. She is a former Assistant Secretary of Education. She's written the book and other books. So this one's called Reign of Error, recently out on paperback, The Hoax of the Privatization Movement and the Danger to America's Public Schools. We've talking about Common Core and other issues. One of the big proponents of Common Core is Bill Gates, the billionaire. He's given hundreds of millions of dollars to try and get this thing moving.
We fund people to look into things. We don't fund people to say, okay, we'll pay you this if you say you like the Common Core. We've never done anything like that. We do evaluations. If those things go well, which some do, some do not, then we create more options. But, you know, our voice is not there when the final choice of what to scale up is made. That's a governor, a superintendent, a, a school board who decides all those things.
And Dan Ravitch, that's Bill Gates saying, I'm just giving millions of dollars. I'm not pushing this thing. It's not up to me. It's up to school boards.
Bill Gates put up, there's a debate about whether he put up $200 million or $2 billion to promote the Common Core. And it's not just that he underwrote the writing committee, which he did, and he gave many, many millions of dollars to all of the groups involved. He has also given millions of dollars to all the think tanks and advocacy groups in D.C. and out of D.C. So when he says, gee, I just put up the money for the writing, and he's paying people to advocate for it. So when you read that some conservative think tank is for Common Core, they probably have gotten $5 million from Bill Gates. When you read that the National Urban League is for Common Core, they got millions of dollars from Bill Gates. When you read that some liberal think tank, I mean, he's paid off all these people to advocate for Common Core. And I think we need to try this thing out and see how it works. What we've learned in New York is that 97% of the English language learners failed. 95% of the kids with disabilities failed. More than 80% of the black and brown kids failed. There's something wrong with the test when almost everybody fails it. And these are federally funded. I mean, the federal government's part was to pay for the testing, which, frankly, may be unconstitutional, or at least against the law, because the law says very clearly that the federal government's to have no part in influencing or controlling or directing curriculum or instruction, and tests do all of those things. But Bill Gates paid for every other part of it, and he's got a lot of money tied up in the Common Core. But, at the end of the day, the Common Core is, like, dying, because teachers are rejecting it. And just in the last year, as more and more teachers have used it, the support of teachers has turned from favorable to unfavorable. Just the other day, there was a poll in Tennessee that said that more than half the teachers in Tennessee who have been using Common Core now for 3 years want it abandoned, not fixed, just abandoned.
So back to Bill Gates, what do you think? Do you think he's just means well?
Oh, I think Bill Gates always means well. I mean, the guy's worth $80 billion. His own kids are in a kind of a fabulous private school that doesn't have any standardized testing and doesn't use the Common Core. And they have the kind of lives that we can only imagine, we can't even imagine or dream of. But he thinks it's a good idea for everybody else. He has explained the Common Core as being like an electric plug. And apparently he thinks of children as appliances. You need to have an electric current or electric plug that you can plug the kids into so that everybody's getting the same current. Well, that's not the way teaching works. It's not the way learning works. Children are not appliances. They're not toasters. They're not electric shavers. Each one is different. And the genius of teachers is to be able to know what kids are interested in and how to spur their interest so that they become motivated. I mean, the best learning is not caused by fear, not caused by a test, but caused by intrinsic motivation. So the great teachers are the ones who open up that intrinsic motivation rather than say there's going to be a test and you're going to be punished and you're going to be failed. And that's what we're doing now. That's what Texas has brought the nation. Texas gave the nation this obsession with testing through No Child Left Behind, and the Obama administration bought right into it. And now teachers are being evaluated all over the country, in part because of Arne Duncan. He punishes states if they don't do it, but also because there's this idea that teachers need to be motivated. They're not motivated. They won't do their best unless you threaten them, which is ridiculous.
Okay, let's go to the phone lines. Number is 210-614-8980 if you want to join the conversation with Diana Ravitch talking about education reform. Philip has called in. Philip, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you very much. So I think that to Ms. Ravitch's point, she's right on with the notion, and I do statistical research in education on this, that there is the entire issue of Common Core and how it's implemented is extraordinarily complex. How the hand is wielded to actually boil everything down to a single test is extraordinarily non-organic when we talk about the different types of learners and the types of learning that each type of subgroup, each demographic, is going to take on. But the one thing that's problematic is that the people who actually own the tests, the curriculum, and the material to read, the books, are actually private companies such as Pearson and McGraw-Hill. My question is, who is holding them accountable, and how can, if they're not being held accountable, how can they be held accountable?
Okay, Philip.
Problems that are being created.
Thanks for your question. Diane.
Well, I think that Texas is a great example of a state that has been lobbied very extensively by Pearson. It hired some of the top people in the state, Sandy Kress of Dallas, who worked for President George W. Bush, who was one of the, he was one of the creators of No Child Left Behind, and he's now a registered lobbyist for Pearson. It's amazing that at the same time that the state legislature cut the budget of the schools by over $5 billion, they gave out a contract to Pearson for almost $500 million. Now, how do you hold them accountable? Go to your legislators. I mean, one of the great things about Texas is that the parents got angry, and they buttonholed their legislators across the state. The legislature was about to impose 15 tests. Now, that was strictly for Pearson. That was the lobbyist saying Pearson needs even more money. And parents just went, you know, berserk, and they formed a group called Texans Advocating for Meaningful Student Assessment. It became known as Moms Against Drunk Testing. And they lobbied, and they were more effective than Pearson. And the legislature rolled back the 15 required tests to only 5 required tests. So I think it's that kind of citizen action to say, stop wasting our money on all this testing. I mean, this is part of the problem, by the way, with the Common Core. The technology companies are going to be making huge amounts of money. Pearson, in particular, is going to be making enormous amounts of money because they do own the Common Core curriculum. They work, in fact, with Microsoft, and Microsoft, which is Bill Gates' company, has a Microsoft Pearson Common Core curriculum, which will be very profitable. And all of the testing, all the federal testing in over 40 states will be done online. Now, why is it necessary to do testing online? It means that these standardized tests will be graded by computers, and when kids write essays, they will be graded by computers too, but they'll be graded by robo-computers, not by human beings.
Okay.
So what we're seeing is a huge transfer of resources from the schools to the technology industry and the testing industry.
All right, back to the phones. Wendy is on the line. Wendy, welcome to The Source.
Hi.
Hey there.
I just wanted to say, you know, I know Texas, we have said that we are staying away from Common Core, but my second grader's homework this year shows me that we're really, really not, even though we're under the TEKS curriculum, that we're just having so many issues. They want my second grader to look at a kid's problem, read the problem, then analyze whether or not the child who actually completed the problem did it right. What did they do right? What did they do wrong? They want them to be essentially writing essays. As a 7-year-old young man, analyzing all the possible ways that a problem can be figured out, they're not learning the basics. It's essentially throwing our children to the wolves, and I really worry. You know, I love math and science. I have a pure love for it, and I feel like children just aren't going to get that same kind of love for these areas if they don't have the ability to even learn the basics, if they're already having to analyze all the possible ways that a problem can be done.
Wendy, thank you for your question. Thanks for your call. So it sounds like Wendy's echoing the concerns that Louis C.K. had. Dan?
Well, I think that's true, and I think that what you're going to see more and more of is the textbooks, even in Texas. Even though Texas has not adopted the Common Core, you're going to find Common Core everywhere because all the textbook companies are boasting that they've aligned with it. And it's not developmentally appropriate. It's certainly not appropriate for pre-kindergarten, kindergarten, first grade, second grade. The first thing you want to do with young children, and I think Wendy's right, is you want to teach them the basics, but you also want them to enjoy coming to school. In many, many schools across the country, recess is being eliminated because more time has to be given to academics. I think what this is going to do is to make children actually hate school because it's going to be seen as drudgery rather than as an alternation. Children need time to play. Adults need time to play. You need to alternate work and play and not just have doing analysis at all times in the day.
Right, and teachers are focusing on the bubble kids, the kids that are not who could do better, who passed the test, or maybe not. So that's also a problem.
Well, I think standardized testing is a problem. Standardized testing is it's normed on a bell curve. So half the kids at the top half are going to look good, and the kids in the bottom half are going to look bad. And the test makers decide where they want the passing mark to be.
Right. And so if you're on the other, either end of that spectrum, you get ignored, you get cut off, and you don't get the attention that you deserve. Thank you so much, Diane Ravitch. She is a former Assistant Secretary of Education. She's written the book, Reign of Error, The Hoax of Privatization Movement, and the Danger of America's Public Schools to America's Public Schools. Thanks for joining us on The Source this afternoon.
Thank you, David. It's great to be in Texas, even by telephone.
Yeah, it's great to have you back. And this is The Source on KSTX. I'm David Martin Davies. Thanks for tuning us in.
This has been The Source on Texas Public Radio. David Martin Davies is executive producer and host. Paul Flav is the show's producer. Management and oversight comes from VP of Programming Wayne Coble. Support for The Source comes from the contributors to the Community Engagement Fund, including the Gladys and Ralph Lazarus Foundation.